A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire.
William, Duke of Normandy.
Throughout the history of the Holy Roman Empire, the emperor and the pope swung back and forth between supremacy and fealty to the other. Sometimes the emperor was supreme law of the land, while other generations saw the emperor as a mere vassal to the power of the pope. Yet on rare occasions, the power of both was usurped by a vassal king. So it was with one of the greatest vassals, William the Conqueror. But how, ask some historians, can a vassal be superior to his liege lord? The whole idea that William the Conqueror was a subject of the Holy Roman Empire actually seems laughable. Indeed, it would be so if it weren't for several undeniable facts. And the facts contribute to the unique nature of this empire. William the Conqueror did not seek to overthrow the empire, nor to succeed from it. All to the contrary, he greatly expanded it. He never came into conflict with the lands directly under the control of the emperor, and he rode in the battle under the banner of the pope. Germany, Burgundy, northern Italy, and other regions of Henry IV were never touched by William. The fact is, William the Conqueror merely sought to increase his own kingdom in regions over which the emperor had no direct control. Indeed, before he was King of England, he wasn't even a king, but a great duke. His relations with the emperor and most of the popes was cordial, and sometimes even friendly. Truth is that just as ancient Rome became too large for one man to control, so also the Holy Roman Empire had lost effective control over the West. The emperor ruled in the East, but the West, while maintaining nominal fealty, had succumbed to its local lords and lost any unity. William the Conqueror subjugated much of the Western Holy Roman Empire in the same way that Charlemagne had subjugated the Western Roman Empire. Didn't Charlemagne create a final breach between the East and the West? Well, true, but that breach was caused by Irene. That breach was caused when Irene was usurped. William had no such problem. The Pope would support William in the conquest of England, and whatever bitterness the Germans might have been harboring did nothing to affect the government. Decades later, when the popes called upon the kings of the West and the East alike for crusades, they enthusiastically laid their armies, both German and Norman, at the disposal of the pope. Could there ever be a more loyal set of vassals? The reality is that William the Conqueror effectively divided the Roman Empire into two separate sections without breaking from it. He brought England into the empire of many nations and strengthened the political power of the West. From his reign onward, the Western Holy Roman Empire would compete with the Eastern Empire for supremacy of power, although the emperor would continue to be acknowledged by both East and West. From William's day forward, England and France would play an ever more increasing role in the history of the empire as well as the world. German sovereignty would not relinquish easily, however. Back in 1035, an 8-year-old child named William inherited the title, the Duke of Normandy. He became a feudal lord of King Henry I of France. Although born a bastard, he raised surrounded by court intrigue, death, and mayhem, he would grow to be one of the most famous kings in medieval history. So the young duke, armed with bodyguards, was placed to protect him from assassins, but several of them died in front of this young king's eyes. Anarchy ruled Normandy during the years, and only his mother was able to protect him from conspiracies and plots to seize his duchy. In 1042, he became knighted, 15 years of age. By 1046, many barons were in revolt. King Henry I of France came to young William's aid. For many years, the young William would learn to fight from Henry and his soldiers. In 1049, William had been able to gain control of many of the dukes, but he still needed a stronger alliance. Now, it's at this point that my family comes into play. One of the counts of one of the smaller areas, Sir Robert of Pasquet, where the Packet name comes from, was one of the first noblemen to recognize William as the true Duke of Normandy and would then be part of his entourage invading England. He had successfully negotiated a marriage alliance with Baldwin of Flanders, which had given him a great ally against the dukes, but Baldwin was himself in rebellion against the emperor, Henry III. Moreover, because the woman chosen for William was a distant cousin, Leo IX condemned the marriage proposed, calling it incest. William was unable to complete the marriage alliance until 4 years later, when Baldwin was no longer a threat to the emperor. In 1059, William funded and built two monasteries, and the Norman alliance with the papacy was strengthened further. Of course, his wife is Matilda. During these years, William was in constant contact with his friend and ally, King Edward the Confessor of England. He was basically on the throne as a result of Norman help. Edward had no children, and it seemed that he wouldn't have any children. William claimed to have gained Edward's solemn promise to make him heir to the throne following his death. Since Edward was an ally of the Emperor Holy Henry III, William's position in no way threatened his position within the empire. Whether or not William ever really obtained Edward's promise is disputed, but over the next few years, William would remain a close confidant of Edward. In 1060, William conquered Maine, just outside of France. His duchy, which had been in anarchy years earlier, was now easily the strongest in the French territory. The Norman alliance only made his duchy stronger when the news arrived of Pope Nicholas II's death in 1061. Now, what I will probably do here is eventually we'll go and look at the next pope, Alexander II. And then I will take a section, because I've done a complete history of the conquest of England, and I'll give the background to the causes William had in claiming England as his territory. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.